On the line with me now is the Honorable Sinclair Stevens. Mr. Stevens was first elected to the House of Commons in 1972. He ran for the Progressive Conservative Party's leadership in 1976 and was president of the Treasury Board in the short-lived Clark government in 1979-1980. In 1984, Mr. Stevens became Minister of Regional Industrial Expansion in the Mulroney government. He joins me today to discuss the goings-on in Ottawa, as well as the PC Party, as in the Progressive Canadian Party, of which Mr. Stevens is the chair of the Macdonald Cartier PC Fund. Please welcome to the commentary.ca the Honorable Sinclair Stevens. Good morning, Mr. Stevens.
Nice to be here.
I'll ask about the Progressive Canadian Party in a sec, but I want to ask, since you were, we brought you on because you are a former cabinet minister, you know Ottawa well, and I'm sure you follow the current events that are on in the nation's capital at the moment. What do you make of the Gomery Commission, the inquiry, and Mr. Chrétien's performance yesterday in front of the inquiry?
I feel it's most regrettable that these inquiries are put in place in that they rarely get to the facts. They don't get to the facts efficiently. The idea that tens of millions of dollars would be spent to try to determine whatever is going to be determined, when surely the truth is, if there's serious misdoing, why didn't they go to the RCMP, ask that it be looked into, have Fraser turn over whatever she felt was relevant to justify the report that she gave, and if people have in fact broken the law, bring them to court, charge them, and so be it. But inquiries are, if you like, totally unsatisfactory, because hearsay gets thrown in. People make wild statements. It gets publicized from coast to coast. Yesterday, for example, I understand the room was packed with journalists. They have a field day. They have a frenzy. But in the meantime, not only are people's reputation being tarnished, but the overall image of our system, our parliamentary system, is being almost destroyed. Because people get the impression that these people are up to no good. I think you're going to find in the final analysis it's been much ado about very little.
It's the old adage that accusations stand and denials evaporate.
Exactly. You know, I have personal experience of that from the Parker Commission thing.
I wanted to ask about that because history books say that, you know, you had to resign under a cloud of conflict of interest in 1986 when you left the Mulroney government. In December of 2004, Mr. Justice John O'Keefe set aside that the federal commissioners... actually, why don't you explain this so you can tell it better than I can?
Yes.
You were vindicated, were you not?
Oh, yes, completely. And he said it should have no force or effect. And what you're referring to in my own experience with inquiries is a very good example of what is wrong, in that the Globe and Mail took two runs at things that really, if I had taken them seriously, I think I'd have been better off, because I felt their stories were so ludicrous, so ridiculous, that they wouldn't get, as they say, legs. But instead, they coordinated with what was called the Rat Pack, which was about four or five liberals in the House of Commons. And because they had the Globe and Mail on side, they just kept peppering questions at us about so-called conflicts of interest, to the point that in order to get it off the front pages, it was decided I should step down, let an independent person take a review of all the facts, report back as to whether there was in substance a possible conflict of interest, and if not, so be it. But instead, I got shuffled off into an inquiry under Mr. Justice Parker. And as far as the public was concerned, it had all the trappings of a court. Here, he wasn't sitting as a judge, but a judge was sitting as a commissioner. The two things that the Globe and Mail had raised expanded into 100 different allegations before the inquiry was over, and the net result was that David Scott, who happens to be the same lawyer for Kretchen right now, was the prosecutor, and he was just merciless. He wanted to get some kind of the appearance, at least, of serious conflicts of interest. And as a result, he overwhelmed Mr. Justice Parker, virtually wrote the report himself, and I've lived with it now for 18 years because the government stalled. They didn't want it opened up. I think they probably were embarrassed because they knew the thing would never stand up. But eventually, a judge gave us our day in court and came down and set it aside. When this thing was running in that year, was the second most publicized name in the Canadian press index as to who's got publicity. Rick Hansen was the only one ahead of me. I had more publicity than the Prime Minister did that year. And yet, once I'm vindicated, I got two or three days of incidental coverage in the press and on the media. That's what's wrong about these hearings.
You say you lived with it for 18 years. Your political career, I guess, was in effect canceled.
The bad thing that happened about my political career, I intended to run in 88 because my counsel at that time, John Sapinka, said, it's the people that are the ultimate judge. He felt it was a terrible miscarriage of justice what Mr. Parker had done. So I got nominated in my riding. I think I could have won it. But Broadbent wouldn't let the matter lie. He came into one of my towns, Aurora, deliberately to highlight the conflict of interest question and make it a national political issue. And at that time, Prime Minister Mulroney had a long chat with me, and it wasn't so much he asked me to step down. We agreed I shouldn't be embarrassing the party. I shouldn't allow Broadbent and presumably the Liberals in due course to make this a big issue. I stepped down, and unfortunately, that, I guess, confirms the impression that I was frightened to run, which wasn't the case.
Now, do you have any bitterness at all, whether it's to the Globe, towards the Globe and Mail, Ed Broadbent, Mulroney, or the your prosecutors at the time? I mean,
well, I certainly, whether you say it's bitterness, I certainly feel I was treated very, very unfairly, and I felt that David Scott was overly aggressive. Surely his role as commission counsel was simply to get the facts out and on the record, not to take an adversarial role of discarding anything that he thought was helpful to me, getting only what he thought might help support his ultimate definition of what a conflict is. That's the strange thing that happened. They found during the hearing there was no definition of conflict of interest that I was to be judged by. And strangely enough, the definition that Scott came up with, that all you need is a situation, that definition has never been accepted before or after, and yet they hung me with it.
Mm-hmm. Let's bridge into the Progressive Canadian Party. When the Conservatives, the Progressive Conservative Party and the Canadian Alliance merged, I guess that'd be 2 years ago now, you were in opposition to that. You called it unconstitutional. Was that merger unconstitutional or illegal?
Yes. It was just a rigged affair. It was a takeover by the Alliance. They, for years, had been approaching representatives of the Progressive Conservative Party about merging and that type of thing. Most of us who were loyalists to the Progressive Conservative Party simply said to them, you were the ones that left. If you want to come back to the Progressive Conservative fold, by all means, come back. But don't expect us to submit to your neo-conservative type of attitudes. You are not in the spirit of true progressive conservatism. And they realized, I think, they weren't going to be able to persuade us to merge. So they got, unfortunately, P. Peter McKay agreeing to that silly agreement in principle thing, and they then packed our membership list in order through a delegate selection process to dominate the final vote. Only 2,500 people ever voted, and of that number, it was about 4% of the total membership of the party said they were in favor with the resolution, and that is what Kingsley agreed to accept as a merger resolution on December the 7th. But you may know, I've appealed that, and the judge that heard it in federal court agreed that that was an error in law. Kingsley should not have done it. I was hoping she would give us an order to reverse it all. She said no, she would use her discretion, because I guess she didn't know what the consequences would be, and now we have that under appeal. Hopefully, having found that Kingsley erred in law, a court of appeal are going to say it's got to be reversed.
And for people that don't know who Kingsley is, you're referring to the
Chief Electoral Officer
of Elections Canada. So you formed this new entity called the PC Party, have you?
Yes.
And talk to us about that and why you think that is a relevant vehicle in today's political culture.
Well, feeling that the merger was really a takeover and not a proper meeting of the minds of progressive conservatives with the alliance, we applied after December the 7th to the chief electoral officer to register the name Progressive Conservative Party on the basis that it continues. The name should continue. Mr. Kingsley at that time said he thought that might be a conflict with what he had already agreed to, the Conservative Party. So we resubmitted and said, call it the Progressive Canadian Party, short title PC Party. But we have adopted the old constitution of the Progressive Conservative Party as our constitution. We've accepted the policy as it was on that December the 7th as our policy. And we're now in the throes of refining. We're coming out, I think, with some very interesting policy positions that will reflect the true nature of progressive conservatism, going all the way back to Sir John A. Macdonald, who first used the term progressive conservative in 1854. It's a 150-year political reality, progressive conservative thinking in Canada, and the public should have the opportunity to vote for a candidate who wishes to run under that banner.
What do you say, though, to people who will criticize your efforts and say that suppose the Progressive Canadian Party gets votes in the next election, that will prevent conservatives from being elected, the Big C conservatives, and thus the Liberals reelected?
That's a misunderstanding of how the typical progressive conservative would vote as a second choice. And, you know, there was a study done on this, and the Alliance, of course, won't accept it. But they polled a cross-section of Canadians on the one side who had voted Liberal, on the other side who had voted progressive conservative. The majority of the progressive conservatives would go Liberal, and the majority of the Liberals would go progressive conservative. The idea that an ultra-conservative, a neo-conservative, a real right-wing group is where most progressive conservatives would go is just wrong. And, of course, in the last election, that was demonstrated. If you add the total vote that the Alliance got in the year 2000 and the progressive conservatives got in the same year, then say, how does that compare to the vote that the new Conservative Party got in 2004? They lost a million votes. A million people didn't vote Conservative if they picked up the gross number that they had in the two parties before.
Who's part of this Progressive Canadian Party? We're led to believe that a lot of the old Tories from the Mulroney era are with Stephen Harper and the Conservatives. I assume that's not true?
It's certainly not the substantial front bench people, like a Joe Clark is certainly not with Stephen Harper. Flora McDonald is not. I'm not. Hewitt Grafty is not. I could give you a list of probably two or three dozen fairly prominent progressive conservatives who want no part of this man. He's a real threat to Canada. And, you know, if we are worried, and I think most good Canadians are worried about a separatist mood in Quebec that might get into ascendancy, the thing that we should worry even more about is the separatist sentiments of Stephen Harper. His idea of a wall around Alberta, and, you know, the statement he made back in 1994 that he didn't care if there were two candidates or 10 candidates, there are other things more important to him. The Belgian reference that he made in his Quebec City speech. This is the type of thing that leads to disunity in a country, and the man should never be given the privilege to be prime minister.
So, how strong is the Progressive Canadian Party? Did you run candidates in the
election? We were only eligible to run candidates for about, I guess it was 3 weeks before the actual election day. We did get 16 fielded, mm-hmm. and a bit to our surprise, they did relatively well because they had practically no time to canvass we ran ahead of other parties that had been in the field before us, in fact, although we only had 16 candidates running.
What worries me, though, and mind you, I'm speaking to you from British Columbia, and is that supporting a party like the Progressive Canadian Party would only enable the Liberals to get in again, and supporting an entity other than the Conservative Party would be counterproductive in getting the Liberals out. I mean, Joe Clark, for example, at the election, said that it was better to go with the devil you know in Martin rather than the devil you don't in Harper.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've had about nearly 12 years now of Liberal government.
Yeah.
Don't you think it's time for a change? Or?
I think it's always healthy to have changes. But when you are forced to change to an alternative that is not really in the best interest of Canada, like, whatever you want to say about the Liberals, they're at least a federal-oriented party. They believe in a strong central government. You cannot say that about Stephen Harper. He would see a very watered-down version of a central government that could well lead to almost dysfunctional government. Like, Belgium, the country that he asked us to take a look at, is a disaster. They've got 12 separate parties in their House of Representatives. The number one party is 17% of the seats. They can virtually get a decision on nothing because they've got so decentralized. Even a group of Germans, a quarter of a million Germans, have a national standing along with the other parties. That's Harper's thinking. And you may find it strange, why do I single him out so much? The reason that I think it's such a serious threat, he reflects the view of the National Citizens Coalition. And if you get their last issue, it is entirely devoted. They call their review now the Conservative Review. Their last issue is entirely devoted to giving advice, or if you like, instructions, what should happen on St. Patrick's Day at this new convention the Conservatives are having. This is the policy that should be accepted in Montreal by Harper's party, and bear in mind, Harper was president of the National Citizens Coalition for 5 years. So if you want to know what he's got in mind, subscribe to the National Citizens Coalition Conservative Review.
Now, you talked about the Liberals being the only federal party and the Progressive Canadian Party wishing to be another. How do you respond then to people in British Columbia or Alberta who don't wish to vote for a federal party and are willing to support, as they did in 1993, the Reform Party, and party now, and I assume in the next election.
Well, we're hoping to get candidates in the majority of ridings in Canada. That includes British Columbia. And once they see PC candidates on the ballot out there, I'd hope they'd at least take the time to find out where do we differ from the neocons. And I think if they would have normally voted progressive conservative, we'll win them far quicker than the neocons.
And will you run again?
Me personally?
Yes.
Well, I haven't thought of that one, but I hadn't thought of it, no.
Mr. Stevens, thank you very much for joining us today. I found it quite fascinating. And what's the website for people that want to learn about the PC Party?
Now, I hope I've got this right. It's ca-ca.
Actually, I've got pcparty.org.
Oh, okay. Well, that's another one. Sure, they can go on to that one.
Okay, so pcparty.org, and you can learn about the Progressive Canadian Party.
Yeah.
For the commentary, I'm Joseph Plenum.